Bibles this evening, if you would turn to 2 Kings 14. Our pastor preached from this passage on Sunday night, and oftentimes our pastor will say, that's another message. And there's a lot of messages in all of these passages, and pastor's message on Sunday night surrounded the death of Elisha and some of his last words to Jehoash. And he had talked about how in verse number 18 there of Second Kings 13, I'm sorry, if you'll look there. And he said, "Take the arrows," and he took him, and he said to the king of Israel, "Smite upon the ground," and he smote thrice, and stayed, or he stopped. The man of God was wroth with him and said, "Thou shouldest have smitten five or six times, then hadst thou smitten Syria, till thou hast consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice." And pastor brought a wonderful message about that thought, how that had he gone on further, and pressed on a little further, how that things would have been different for him. And he talked about those arrows and how that he probably had a number of them, but he just smote three times. And I began to think about some of those arrows, some of those things, some of those opportunities that pastor talked about. And if I, Lord willing, let me elaborate on some arrows this evening, some opportunities. You know, as we think about this idea, as Sovereign Grace Baptists, as we think about the idea that something that we do could change the future, at times that's hard to tie that all together in our brains. And I can't pretend to tie that all together for you, except that it has to be that way. Now I know that nothing surprises God, and I know that God knew exactly how many times the king of Israel would smite. And all of that was a part of God's plan and a part of his purpose, and none of that surprised God, but yet the opportunity was still there given. And we can't separate that out of the scriptures. There's a scripture we'll read in a few moments, but it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap." And it has to be that way. It has to be that way for God to be a righteous God, because otherwise we would say that everything is his fault. Everything that goes wrong is his fault. Everything that doesn't work out is his fault. And we know that's not the truth. We're responsible. We're responsible as people for our actions. We're not robots. We're not Jell-O. We are responsible for our lives. And sometimes it's hard to tie that all together with the sovereignty of God. And again, I can't necessarily do that for you, but it must be so. It cannot be any other way. And that it has to be that way, that God is totally sovereign, but yet we are completely responsible. And there's a number of passages and parables and things that describe to us our responsibility in every opportunity of life that comes our way. And I want to look at these things a little bit. I want to look at some of these arrows, some of these passed up opportunities. Just to think about these for a moment, you know, if you imagine a quiver, I used to have a quiver on my bow when I was young and ambitious. I had a quiver that would hold like 12 arrows. And I lugged that thing up in a tree a number of times and got it hooked on every branch, and I thought, this is stupid. I've never fired more than 2 arrows. So I went out and bought a little quiver that held 3 arrows. And that made more sense to me, because I've never shot more than 2. And I thought, 3, I'll save one for a squirrel or something. And that's pretty good. Occasionally, if it's a tree I'm unfamiliar with, I'll shoot one out there just for range and make sure my eyes aren't playing tricks on me. But I've never shot more than 2, ever. So we kind of imagine the quiver about that size, but as we consider Pastor's message, I want to open our eyes a little bit to the many opportunities, the many arrows that we have. And there's a number of categories. We'll name some categories specifically, and we'll read a few different passages. But as I thought about these arrows, I began to realize that I don't have two or three unshot arrows. I've got mountains of them. There's millions. They're piled up everywhere. Our lives are cluttered with unused opportunities by the thousands, by the millions. I was saved 24 years ago in this place, and I thought about that 24 years ago. That's 12,614,400 minutes. 12 million moments that have passed by me to make a decision of what to do with those moments. 12 million moments that have passed by me. 4,080 sermons, give or take 200, when you include Bible conferences. 1,248 opportunities to attend prayer band. I think about the opportunities that are before us. The opportunities to bow a knee in prayer. Prayer will be one of the first ones that we consider. If you turn in your Bibles to the book of James in chapter number 2. And again, I can't pretend to link everything together in my finite mind concerning the sovereignty of God and how our actions change things, but they do. If you don't believe that, you'll live a very fatalistic life. In James chapter, let's turn to James chapter number 4. I'm good at writing numbers down wrong. James chapter number 4 and verse 2, a verse that we probably know. He says, "You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." Prayer. You know, there's a lot of debate about prayer amongst theologians. Does prayer change God, or does prayer change me, or does prayer actually do anything? And we have to believe that prayer does something. It doesn't surprise God, and it's nothing that wasn't already a part of His plan and whatever, but we have to believe that you have not because you ask not. It's written there in the Scriptures. How many opportunities, how many seconds, how many minutes of the day could we be in prayer if we just cared? I mean, if things around us really actually bothered us, that we would be in prayer. How many arrows of prayer are piling up in our closets, never to be strung in the bow? The opportunities that pass us by, and the saddest part is we can't shoot yesterday's arrows. They're useless. We can't shoot yesterday's arrows. They're piling up. Opportunities gone by the thousands, piling up daily. He said, "You have not because you ask not." Now we know that there's more to it there in verse 3. "You ask and receive not because you ask amiss," and there's some more to it, but their basic problem was they had not because they asked not. There's something wrong with our theology if we come to a place where we don't think it matters if we pray or if we do anything. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. That's hard shell. That's not what we believe. We have an opportunity every day, every moment of every day. We're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 to pray without ceasing, without stopping, without an end, to learn to be in a continuous state of prayer every moment. Lord, help me. Lord, give me the words. Lord, direct me. Lord, show me. Lord, help me talk to this coworker. Lord, be with me. And I'm not pointing the finger. I sat there in the message on Sunday night, and I just begun to see mountains of arrows. Piles. Huge heaps, hills of arrows. that can never be fired. They're in the past. They're yesterday's. We can only shoot today's arrows. You know, we can kill a lot of time trying to shoot tomorrow's arrows too. We can't do that either. If you intend and plan on shooting tomorrow's arrows, you'll never get there. You never will. You'll never use them. All the things that you plan on doing tomorrow, you plan on spending some time in prayer tomorrow, you plan on reading your Bible tomorrow, it'll never come. There's a t-shirt that I like, and it says, "Procrastinators unite tomorrow." And that's the truth. Unless you do it today. Oh, we look for an easier day. Do it today while it's hard, and then you know you'll do it tomorrow when it's easy. It'll never come. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. We already alluded to this passage, if you will. Galatians chapter 6, and beginning with verse 4. "But let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another." At the end of the day, are you satisfied with your labor? Let every man prove his own work. Let it show for itself. Let it stand for itself. "For every man shall bear his own burden." Whatever's going on in your life is your deal. You can't blame it on anybody else. You can't push it off on anybody else. Wherever you are is your deal. It's your issue. The opportunities that come your way are yours. They're not somebody else's fault if you don't take them. They're yours. "Let him that is taught," verse 6, "in the word, communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." There's a number of things alluded to there in verse 6. It's an allusion there to taking care of your pastor, to being a servant, to ministering. And along that thought of ministering and taking care of your pastor, he says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Whatever you put in is what you get out. Somehow we've gotten away from thinking that way. I know I have. I get away from thinking that way. I get to thinking, well, there's all these other forces at work, and it doesn't matter how much I do, it just doesn't come to anything. You know, and not everything's going to turn out, and whatever will happen, and God's in control of it, and we have all these things that make ourselves feel better about our lack of success. I know I do. There's a lot of things that I can blame for my lack of success in so many areas of my life. And he says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked." You know, we can't push this off on God. He's not going to bear the shame for our lack of success. We can't walk around saying anymore, "Well, it just wasn't God's will." And I, don't get me wrong, I'm as sovereign grace as anybody. I really am. I want to, if I can, I want to adorn and add to our pastor's message, if I can, if the Lord will let me. And we're in agreement on these things, and these are some of the things that he was bringing out. But we can't push this off on God anymore. We can't say that. You know, whatever we put in is what we get out. You know, we don't see a lot of people saved anymore. What we put in is what we get out. You say, "Well, he's just not saving." He's saving in some places. I believe there's places where people are being blessed. And things are happening. Maybe he's not blessing around us. But whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. In our lives, what we put in to a certain degree is what we get out. Now, I know there's a lot of other things here, but we can't live under that excuse. We can't push it off on God. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall he reap. Verse 8. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." You spend your life sowing material things, you'll reap material things that are corruptible. You spend your life sowing spiritual things, you will reap spiritual things. Now understand sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping, it doesn't happen overnight. Some seeds take longer to grow. You know, maybe you've been serving the Lord and serving the Lord and serving the Lord, and it doesn't seem like anything's happened. It's sowing and reaping. It's, you put that seed in the ground and you wait a few months. You wait a few seasons. You wait some time for it to come up. And not every plant is bears its fruit the first year. It takes some time. There's a number of plants that don't seed out until the second or third year. It's sowing and reaping. But God is not mocked. Notice verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Oh, I get so weary. You're so tired. And tiredness and weariness is a reason why arrows are piling up. Too tired to... You know, the Spirit of God comes and awakens me. 4:30 in the morning. Oh, that's too early. I got to find a way. Find a way to fall back to sleep. You know? All the many arrows and opportunities of service and ministry and prayer piling up. Notice what he says in verse 10, as we therefore have opportunity. Oh, that's a dreadful phrase. We have opportunity. There's no lack of opportunity. Pastor spoke on that. There's no lack of opportunity. Opportunity is everywhere. As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them who are of the household of faith. Oh, there's no lack of opportunity. There are many arrows of service, many arrows of prayer, many arrows of ministry still in the quiver. There's another, there's an allusion in Psalms 127, if you'll turn there. Psalms 127. There's an allusion to the arrow, and also surrounding that verse there are a lot of thoughts that are applicable to what we've been trying to talk about concerning our effort and also the need of God's sovereignty and God's power. Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We could also say, and if we don't build anything, we won't have anything. But except the Lord build the house, we certainly need Him, don't we? We don't discount that at all. There's no discounting our need for the Lord. But we also can't mock Him and say that it's all His fault. That it wasn't in His will or wasn't in His plan. Or, you know, we can't use those excuses to live by. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. But the watchman better waketh. He better wake up. And the builders better build. But they need to do it with the Lord. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late. He also talks about the vanity of striving without the strength of the Lord. To eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. God gives profitability and peace and the things that His people need. He gives those things. He says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows, children are also some arrows that we have. And every quiver is different sized. You may not have been given as many arrows as I've been given. But Lord, help us to use all our arrows. I find the more arrows you have, the harder that is to do. But Lord, help us to use all of our arrows. Our church covenant says to religiously educate our children. That doesn't mean that we give them some religious education, but though that's good, but that we're religious in educating them. Our children are some of our arrows. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. So we've looked at prayer, and we've looked at service and ministry, and children are our form of arrows. And the more children I have, the more I have to discipline myself to make sure that I'm investing in all of them, giving them all what they need, whether one be more difficult than the other, or however the case may be, but that we're investing in them and giving them the things that they need. Turn with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 is speaking specifically of tithing or material goods, but it doesn't necessarily, the analogy here doesn't have to stop here. It relates to everything. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, and notice in verse 6, again, along with the analogy of sowing and reaping, he said, "But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly." We read previously, "Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Whatever type of seed you put in the ground is the type of seed you're going to get back. A second principle is shown us here. In this passage, it's relating to money, but we could relate it to all of our sowing. He says, "How much you sow is how much you reap." It's proportionate. What you put in, what you get out. Again, if this wasn't true to a certain degree, if God didn't hold this to be true to a certain degree, then we would be able to stand back and say it's all His fault. Everything's His fault. Whether I have a good life or whether I do right or I do wrong, or we would be able to push that all off on God, and we can't do that. There is responsibility taught again and again and again, and this is one of those passages. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. I can't help but think of the parable of the talents. You know, there was one that was given 5 talents and one that was given 2 talents and one that was given 1 talent. And the one that was given 5, he went out and he gained 5 more. And the one that was given 2 went out and he gained 2 more. And the other one, he just buried his. There's a number of analogies in the Bible. Buried talents. Unsown seeds, unshot arrows, however you want to look at it, opportunities gone by that we can't get back again. There's a number of arrows we could name tons. Bible study. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Praise and thanksgiving. The psalmist said, 7 times a day will I praise thee, O Lord. Well, that just cuts you wide open, doesn't it? A number of opportunities go by to praise the Lord. There are so many things I was trying to bring across to my Sunday school class on Sunday. So many millions of things that God does for us that we never even knew. He's never not working. There's never a time that he's not engaged in working in some way or another. There are multitudes, myriads of things that God has saved us from that we'll never even know. Maybe in glory we'll know the things that He's prevented us from. Whether it was someone who would come into our life and drag us into sin that he kept us away from, or whether it be a car accident or whatever it may be. Multitudes of things that we'll never even know. Tragedies, difficulties, problems. We tend to live a life thinking that some tragedies and problems can only happen once in your life or maybe twice in your life. You know, the book of Job shows us that they can happen all day, every day. Difficulties, pain, and trials can come one right after another, again and again and again, but God, every day, holding all of those things back. It's very rare that really bad things happen to us. Awful tragedies, they don't occur very often. All of these things at the restraining hand of God, held together by His order, and millions of things that we don't even know, we don't even have the wisdom to thank Him for. We have no idea to thank Him for the things that He's doing every moment of every single day. How much praise and thanksgiving. could be offered every moment of every day. We could list tons and tons of arrows. Jeremiah told the people in Jeremiah chapter number 50 concerning Babylon, he told Israel, he said, spare no arrows. And shoot them all. Shoot every one you got at Babylon. Shoot every last one. Spare not a one. Don't save any. But how many moments go by? How many things in our life, really, if we got serious about the opportunities that pass us by? Pastor spoke and he taught about how that things could really change. That was the lesson back in the book of Kings, was that had he done differently, had he not stopped, things could have changed. And how many of us long for change and yet we continue to let the same amount of arrows pile up every day? I know I'm very guilty of that. I know that I set out for change on Sunday and on Monday I fall right into the same routine of sleeping right up till about an hour before I need to be at work. And we just fall into those same things. And opportunity after opportunity passes by. And then if that wasn't worse enough, we go out and we purchase and we buy things to further take away our opportunities. And we add conveniences and luxuries to our life that further remove our opportunities and further cause these arrows to pile up by the thousands. It's very much a sad thing. And there's not many that don't need some kind of change in their life. As you talk to God's people and you listen to the tone of churches and the tone of people, sometimes we're tempted to say, I'm doing everything I can. And sometimes we really feel that way and we believe that at times, but there's nobody that ever has. There's nobody that ever really has, I believe, done everything that they can. If we look at the example of the Savior's life as he walked upon this earth, when he was with his disciples teaching, he went from town to town and village to village, and he would heal and he would work all day long, and then he'd tarry all night in prayer, and that was his regular pattern. Oh, that we would have hearts that were burdened enough to tarry all night in prayer. Hearts that were concerned enough to witness to every soul. Hearts that were anxious. Hearts that were burning to rise up early and spend some time with the Lord and take advantage of every opportunity that comes our way. I think of what Solomon said, Song of Solomon. In the Song of Solomon in chapter 5 and verse 2, he said, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me. My sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, come be with me. How many times does that call come? By the aid of the Holy Spirit to our heart, spend some time on your knees. Come be with me. Open to me, my sister, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. She answers in verse 3, I've put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I've washed my feet, how shall I defile them? I can't now. I'm comfortable. I speak from my own heart. I love sleep. I wish I didn't. Some insomnia might do us all good. I've put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put his hand in by the hole of the door. He tried even harder to draw me to communion with him. My bowels were moved for him. Have you ever felt that? You ever feel the Lord put an anxiety in your soul for no reason, drawing you to his feet? For no reason, a need to pray, a need to talk to him, a need to commune with him. But she waited too long. I rose to meet my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh. Upon the handles of the lock I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself. He is a sovereign God, and he is not mocked. And he does not live on our time schedule. You know, I've learned in ministry, I can't do all of my things all day, every day, and then try to hurry up and get a word from him. He won't give it. He'll be as quiet as can be. I won't hear a thing. I'll try to commune with him on my time, on my terms, and nothing. You can't do it. It doesn't work that way. We've let opportunity after opportunity go by. She waited till it was too late. He had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him but could not find him. I called him but he gave me no answer. Again, we can't shoot yesterday's arrows. The time to draw near with Christ, you know, yesterday, today builds on yesterday, and tomorrow on today, we could draw closer and closer and closer and more in fellowship with him, and you can't regain the ground you lost yesterday. You can't redeem that time that you've already thrown away. The many opportunities of people that crossed your path how many arrows of people that have crossed our paths. I know I'm very guilty of that. How many arrows are piling up? How many piles of seeds in our barns unsown? This pastor preached these thoughts. The pictures began to show in my mind, and I thought that they were worthy to look at again. And we ought to learn to try to chew on these things, I'm frustrated with how easy it is to just forget the Word of God, to forget sermons, to forget the things that He preaches and teaches, and they so easily flow in and out of our minds. I mentioned that we, in the 24 years that I've been saved, I've heard at least 4,080 sermons, give or take a couple hundred. How many can you remember? Life-changing outpourings of the Word of God, and yet we just another thing. It's another thing we do. How many arrows piling up? Oh, I pray that the Lord would breathe upon us, that He would move upon us to seize those opportunities. I know in myself, a lot of times it's simple things. It's time management. It's tiredness. It's thinking that I'll get around to it tomorrow. It's soothing my conscience over with, well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen anyway. And pray that the Lord would help us to not only see the opportunities that come our way, but that He would give us the strength. Take a hold of them. Begin to recognize all the opportunities that He gives us to change our lives, to change our futures. And I know that's a hard thing for us to say, but according to Pastor's message on Sunday, that opportunity is given again and again. I think about my children's lives and how many opportunities am I missing in their lives to invest the things that they need. Time spent in family devotions and reading the Word of God to them and instructing them. And how many opportunities go by where we could have a little lesson or teach a little story or talk about why this is wrong or why that happens or why this is or that is. All those opportunities that come up. again and again and again, and many times we're so full of busyness. I wonder sometimes if we just shouldn't have a big bonfire of things that just seem to consume our time. There's so many things. There's always something else to do, something else to fix, something else to... They just keep coming. There's no end to them. You think, well, I get this accomplished this week, and no, there's something next week. You get through the social engagements of this week, and there's more social engagements next week. And I struggle with that. I think fellowship is good, and we need fellowship, but it just seems like the busyness just it keeps multiplying, and there's birthday parties, and the things just pile and pile and pile and pile, and there's always another reason. Every week there's two or three more reasons more than last week, with no seeming end in sight. Busyness, weariness, some of these things are some of the greatest causes. And then it seems to just multiply because, you know, as he told the king of Israel there, he would have had more victory in his life had he seized that one little opportunity. That little opportunity seems so insignificant. You know, prayer might seem insignificant. Family devotions or Bible study or... It may seem insignificant. Smiting those arrows on the ground may have not correlated in any way in his mind how that could have changed his future. But he had an opportunity to make a change. And again, I know these things are hard to tie together with the sovereignty of God, but it must be so. It has to be that way. We'll stop there, and I'll have Uncle Jim, if you'll come, and lead us in a song.